SLUG constitutes Utah influencers. We use our voice to nurture what's important in inspiring a healthy community. Music, arts, lifestyle, and events.
Shh, are you listening? This is SLUG Soundwaves. I'm Chloe. I do vocals and lyrics for Tarot Death Card. I play alongside Aaron Mora. He does synth, drums, and some guitar. We have McCormick Thompson, who does the bass and also has recently picked up the synth as well. And then we have Christian Austin, who plays guitar for us. We are playing Crucial Fest the end of August, beginning of September, the best way to bring in fall. We are going to be opening up and kicking off the show on Crucial Fest After Dark with a Daft Punk tribute with One More Time. That's at Metro Music Hall for those of you who are 21 and older with a valid ID. So in the summer of 2015, the four of us essentially randomly met and some things led to another and we decided to do a tarot reading. We had been jamming for maybe a few days. I wouldn't say that any of us are really into tarot. I get asked questions about tarot that I cannot answer. So I have taken the time to study up on my tarot and really analyze. Well, we analyzed our card reading, but that was 2 years ago and a lot can happen. With the tarot reading, the way that the cards laid out, we had some really powerful cards. We had Ten of Cups, the Tower, the Ten of Swords, the Moon, which is the name of our first EP. So all of these cards, if they were to be the opposite direction and reversed, the reading would have been so different. And it would have been really depressing, actually, and said, turn around and run. Don't talk to these people. They are not your friends. You've only known them for a week. However, that is not what we got. We got a really positive reading. The ones that were the most powerful that have really stuck with us and encouraged us to actually start to write music together. First is the distant past, which is where we drew the moon upright. The moon represents a fear of repeating the same things and insecurities. And so I think that was really powerful because it was in the distant past and it's something that we didn't want to bring up again. Another really important card that we drew is the final outcome card. It's the 10th card that you draw, and we pulled the 10 of Cups upright. And the 10 of Cups means harmony, marriage. It was essentially good things to come. And the thing that's really important about the final outcome is that if you don't get a clear answer in the final outcome, then you're supposed to keep drawing cards, like three more cards, until you get a final answer to really confirm whether or not what you pulled is your reading. And that you should go by this reading. So the fact that we pulled out this card, and it's actually a really cool card. It has two people, and there's 10 cups that make a rainbow. And so it was so cute. When we saw that card, everything that we had learned through this tarot reading of like accepting our fears, also kind of accepting our current situation, analyzing what could go wrong, starting that dialogue between the four of us, is what this tarot reading did. And the most important card, the death card, which means rebirth and change, that was in our recent past. So we took that as we are now becoming new people. We're shedding our skin. This is a new life, a new opportunity. I would think that to be really true because who we were in the past to where we are now, I would say that we've all gone through multiple rebirths. The fact that we were all able to realize kind of what our fears were and use the tarot reading as more of a mental exercise then, this is what the stars say, let me tell you. We really had to kind of analyze what brought us to this point and if we were kind of ready for it, especially because three of the four of us had never been in a band before. Once we got this reading and we were all really excited and encouraged, we decided to continue playing music in the living room, which was not a focused activity at all. It was us just sometimes, I think maybe it sounded good, but we started to try to kind of figure out our sound and we wrote a song and the song is called Tell Me When It Hurts. We kind of had a love-hate relationship with it at first because we had written it, and I really loved it because I'm now married to Christian in the band. However, at the time when we first met, we were not married, we were not dating. He didn't like me, actually. So I was actually the annoying one that was kind of, that's how I got into this group, is that I had such a crush on Christian that I would leech on to be in the same space. So that's kind of disturbing, and I hope that I don't go to jail or get cited for stalking anyone. The lyrics are inspired by this idea of exploration with this person to really test each other emotionally and see what can happen and what can grow from giving something a chance. All my bandmates think that it's about sex, but that's not it. I mean, if you listen to it, you could see why they think that, but it's really deeper than that. However, it was all ad-libbed. None of us knew what we were doing. We got it on one of our iPhones, I think, or maybe I had just like written down the words so that I could try to remember them. Because that was a problem, is that we would jam things and we couldn't remember what we jammed, so then we just jammed something else and then jammed something else. And then there was no cohesive alignment of what our sound was because it was so everywhere on the map. That song was cool because our ears kind of perked up and we thought, oh, I like that one. And then later down the road, we kind of put it in our back pocket and decided, well, maybe we don't like that one. And then we've been playing around with it and kind of given Tell Me When It Hurts a rebirth as well. And so we like it again. And so we realized that we jive together well as a band. I think after we were really happy about Tell Me When It Hurts, we got excited about that when we wrote that song. And we were with each other all day, every day. I had my own apartment. I slept on their couch every night. And by every night, I mean every day. When the sun came up, we were asleep. When the moon came up, we were awake. So we rose with the moon, and that's kind of a critical component of our story as a band, is that in the night is when we felt so much power and juju and inspiration. It was really weird, like none of us could function like normal humans during the day. We all are kind of misfits, which is why we like Salt Lake, because it feels like the land of misfits. We never looked at each other and said, what do we want our music to sound like? Who do we want to sound like? We never had that conversation, nor did it ever cross our minds, because all of us have really different, I guess, personal playlists of what we would listen to if we were alone. Like Aaron likes the Red Hot Chili Peppers, and Christian really likes Radiohead, and I like Taking Back Sunday. McCormick likes RuPaul, you know? So none of it makes any sense, and that's why it makes perfect sense. I actually probably misspoke, because McCormick wasn't even in the band. He was our manager, but he was so hyped, and I always think he was in the band because it feels like he's always been in the band, but he was our manager. So he essentially was the one who was like, hey guys, keep going. Like, can I get you anything? It was McCormick, I believe, that also was the one who encouraged us to go play at the Woodshed. May it rest in peace. On Wednesday night, they would have their open mic nights, and we would tell everyone, we're having a show tonight, everybody come to our show. And we'd promote it like they had booked us, but we were just really waiting for them to ask us to come on stage because we signed up on the sheet. No one had to pay to listen to us. We could just go up there, get our nerves out, kind of figure out our stage presence. Since it was open mic night, we just had guitars, a synth, and vocals. We didn't have a bassist and we didn't have a drummer. And we didn't really think that that was a problem either. McCormick had emailed Kilby Court. Of course, we had no recordings and also no following other than ourselves. I actually remember when I got the phone call, like, hey, Kilby booked us to play in December. I was on State Street. I wasn't even paying attention, and I was going maybe 50 miles an hour, and I got pulled over while I was on the phone, and I was like, no, this is horrible. And I wanted to tell the officer, don't you know I'm going to play at Kilby Court? Anyway, I didn't want to tell him my band name because he probably would have thought I was really scary. And anyway, I got a really big ticket for that. McCormick had expressed that he was interested in playing with us for this Kilby show because we didn't have a bassist, and so we thought, why not? I mean, we're with you every day anyway, and you got us the show, so he started to play bass with us. So our first show at Kilby Court, we had no drums, but we had a bassist and some guitars and some synth. And there was a reviewer there, Robert Robb. He's great. The reason he came to Kilby Court is because he saw our band name, so Tarot Death Card. He's really into metal, He came and was very shocked, so he came to review us, and then he realized it was our first show. So in the review, we read it after we were really excited, and in the review he had said they did a great job, especially for being their first show, but they don't have a drummer. And without a drummer, I mean, I just can't dig it. And I think that a lot of people can't really dig it without a drummer. To us, we thought, oh, well, yeah, maybe it'll make us unique. But no one wants to listen to a band that's supposed to be trancy without a drummer. It just doesn't work. So, seeing as how we had no drummer friends, and we did have a drum pad, Aaron said, okay, well, let's make some beats. They started really simple. I still feel like they're simple, but they've evolved a little bit. So that's really when we started to get focused, and well, we had to, because now we had a drum pad, so we had to keep tempo, we had to decide when the breaks were. I mean, we really had to start getting more dynamic with our songs. When I first told my grandparents that I was in a band called Tarot Death Card, I thought my grandma might die. Like, she's 87, at the time 85, and I honestly thought she was going to have a heart attack. She wouldn't listen to our music. She's finally coming to one of our upcoming shows, which I am so excited about. I don't look like a metal. I don't know any metal, actually. I couldn't even name a metal band. I'm so bad. And actually, just recently, we were playing at Ice House, and a man had come and was listening to us and afterwards came up and he said, I came because your name's Tarot Death Card and you really didn't play anything like I expected you to, but I really liked it. And then he started, you know, giving us some feedback and it was really cool. So that's the nice thing, is that we have a genre that I feel that people who are coming searching for metal, there are elements, and by that I mean it's just like common music elements that they can relate to, and then they're attracted to our music for a completely different reason than it being metal. I call it metal miscommunication because I get it. Tarot Death Card. Yeah, it should be metal. So when we were asked to play Crucial Fest, we got a message. And as far as I knew, the past 6 years of Crucial Fest has been metal. I was really perplexed because I know they know our sound. We've played so many shows over the past 9 months to a year in their venues. And I thought, well, maybe it's the wrong band. Maybe he typed in death and he just didn't look carefully. It just made no sense. And then when I started to read the invitation in more detail, it was, we're trying to, you know, expand the reach of Crucial Fest, and it's actually going to be multiple genres this year, and it's no longer a metal festival, it's now a music festival. I was kind of shocked at first and then so excited. When we found out that the Growlers and Starfucker, minus the bear, Built to Spill, I don't have any words because I was so excited. So I think it's just a huge honor. And also, I'm obsessed with the Gateway Mall, and I think it is so cool that that is, again, going through this rebirth as well. It's happening everywhere. It's crazy. At first, when we were told that we were going to be part of the Daft Punk tribute night, we thought, well, should we do a cover? Should we do a Daft Punk cover? But we decided that we're just going to really hone into our own sound, because there was a reason that we were selected to play. In preparation for Crucial Fest, and also just for, you know, constant growth, we are always open to the idea of inviting a drummer to come play with us. We already have really awesome visuals that go on in the background, fog machines, lights, all of those things that really add to the ambiance. And we think that having a live drummer may add to that experience. So if you know any drummers, hit up Tarot Death Card. Since we have released Moon, our first EP, that was in April that we had our release show, we have now released another EP. However, it was very secretive and almost unbeknownst to us that we were doing it. Once we finally got Moon done and we laid a foundation, we got the experience, we all looked at each other and we were all on the same page and said, we have to release one song a month. That is our goal. That's what we're going to do. And that's exactly what we've done. We release our songs like a yin and a yang. So we have double-sided tracks, per se, on Spotify. So we will release two songs at once under the same album cover. So they're treated as a single, almost with like a secret dark element to them. The reason we do this is, I think, because our sound has evolved so much. We recently picked up the BPMs, totally changed our sound from what you hear on the Moon EP. Additionally, we've been playing around with how we record our songs. So with our new recordings, we have a live recording, which is Over My Shoulder, which is one of our new dark songs. We did all of that live. And then with Across the Room, which was another one of our newer releases, we did all of that isolated. It makes no difference to me. I think the song that I'm most excited about on our new EP is Jesus Speak. It's about a lot of things, and it's the brainchild of Aaron. He actually wrote the parts and kind of told us, this is what I want the song to sound like. This is the first song that we've ever done that. We always collaborate, so we've all put our own elements. I've tweaked the melody, Christian's tweaked the guitar, and McCormick's added this really cool synth, bassy synth line. So we've all added our elements that make it Tarot Death Card. It's a really great song about just kind of being fed up with the repetition that exists. Also, just needing to escape from the chaos of reality. And I don't know if Aaron would describe it in the same way, but that's really the emotion that I feel when I sing it. It feels so raw and natural to me growing up as an atheist in Davis County. It's, I think, a really peaceful song of accepting that you just can't. You can't. I just can't even. The song that you'll be hearing from us today is Jesus Speak.
There's
We are playing at Vague Space in Sugar House with Selfmyth August 18th, and then Crucial Fest, which is Thursday, August 31st at Metro Music Hall for 21 and plus. Really excited about that. You can also hear us online on Spotify, Bandcamp, SoundCloud, Google Play, iTunes, all of those wonderful streaming applications. And you can also find us on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. It's Tarot Death Card, T-A-R-O-T, Death Card. I didn't know how to spell tarot until I was in a band and created a band called Tarot Death Card, so T-A-R-O-T. And we would love if you liked us and let us know that you're listening.
Need some outfit inspiration? See the hottest street fashion Utah has to offer in our monthly Slug Style feature.